$30 billion in a single check. That's what investors just handed Anthropic, valuing the company at $380 billion. To put that in perspective, that's more than the GDP of most countries on Earth, and it's for a company that didn't exist 4 years ago. Welcome to AI Pulse for Friday, February 13th, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your analyst.
Happy Friday the 13th, Marcus. Fitting day for some scary numbers. We've got a lot to cover. Anthropic's record-shattering funding round, and why investors are breaking their own rules to get in. Google's Gemini 3 DeepThink just posted a score on a major reasoning benchmark that has people asking whether we've hit AGI. ByteDance's new video generator is so realistic that even Elon Musk is saying slow down. China's AI labs are proving they don't need NVIDIA chips anymore. And the ad war between OpenAI and Anthropic just got a Super Bowl-sized upgrade. Let's get into it. So, Marcus, let's start with this Anthropic funding round. $30 billion, Series G, $380 billion valuation. We mentioned earlier this week that they were closing a round, but the final numbers came in yesterday, and they're even bigger than expected.
This is now the second largest venture funding deal of all time. The only thing bigger was OpenAI's own mega round. And what really stands out isn't just the size, it's who's writing the checks. Sequoia Capital, Altimeter, Blackstone, Abu Dhabi's MGX. These are the same firms that are heavily invested in OpenAI.
Wait, so the same investors are backing both companies? Isn't there usually like an unwritten rule against that?
There absolutely is. For decades, VCs avoided investing in direct competitors. It creates conflicts of interest, it can leak strategy between portfolio companies, and it signals that you don't have conviction in either horse. But what we're seeing here is investors essentially saying the AI foundation model market is so massive and so uncertain that the rational play is to own a piece of every credible contender. Sequoia first backed OpenAI in 2021. Now they're in Anthropic. Altimeter called OpenAI its biggest bet ever, and then turned around and put more than $200 million into Anthropic.
So it's less about picking the winner and more about making sure you're in the room no matter who wins.
Exactly. And when you add in the fact that Amazon, NVIDIA, and Microsoft have all either invested in or discussed investing in both companies, you get this extraordinary situation where the competitive lines between these firms are blurred at the capital level, even as they fight tooth and nail at the product level. It's unprecedented in venture capital history.
And the $30 billion itself, that's not pocket change even by big tech standards. What does Anthropic actually need all that money for?
Training frontier models is extraordinarily expensive. We're talking about billions just for a single training run when you factor in compute, data, talent, and infrastructure. Anthropic is also building out its enterprise products, Claude Cowork, the API business, the whole ecosystem. And remember, as we covered last week, big tech is collectively spending close to $700 billion on AI infrastructure this year alone. Anthropic needs to keep pace with that level of investment or risk falling behind. This round essentially gives them a war chest to compete with companies that have 10 times their revenue.
The irony of a safety-focused AI lab raising the most money in venture history is not lost on me.
It's the central tension of the whole company. Their pitch has always been, we're building the most capable AI responsibly. And investors are basically saying, we believe responsibility will be the winning strategy. Whether that thesis holds up when the pressure to show returns on $30 billion kicks in, that's the question to watch.
All right, let's talk about Google, because Gemini 3 DeepThink just did something that has the internet losing its collective mind. Marcus, 84.6% on ARC AGI2. Help me understand why that number matters.
So, ARC AGI2 is one of the hardest reasoning benchmarks in AI. It's specifically designed to test whether a model can do genuinely novel problem solving, the kind of flexible, abstract reasoning that humans are good at, but AI has traditionally struggled with. The previous best scores on this benchmark were significantly lower, hitting 84.6%, and that's verified by the ARC Prize Foundation independently, is a massive leap.
And people are literally asking, is this AGI?
Some people are, yes. And I think the honest answer is, it depends on your definition. If AGI means a system that can match or exceed human performance on any intellectual task, then no, we're not there yet. DeepThink is a specialized reasoning model. It's extraordinary at science, math, and logical analysis. But it's not a general-purpose agent that can do everything a human can do. However, if your definition of AGI is more about demonstrating the kind of flexible, novel reasoning that was supposed to be uniquely human, then this result should give you pause.
What about the practical applications? Because the benchmarks are impressive, but what can it actually do?
That's where it gets really interesting. Google highlighted a case where DeepThink found a subtle logical flaw in a mathematics paper that had already passed human peer review. Think about that. Professional mathematicians reviewed this paper, approved it, and an AI caught an error they missed. The Wang Lab at Duke is using it to optimize crystal growth for semiconductor materials, which is genuinely cutting-edge materials science. And DeepThink also hit gold medal level on the written sections of the International Physics and Chemistry Olympiads.
So, it's not just acing standardized tests, it's finding things that experts miss.
Right. And Google is now making it available through the Gemini API to select researchers, engineers, and enterprises. That's a deliberate move. They want external researchers to stress test these capabilities, push the boundaries, and frankly, generate the kind of real-world validation that benchmarks alone can't provide.
I feel like every few months, we have a, is this AGI moment, and the goalposts keep moving. But this one does feel different.
The goalposts move because the field moves. A year ago, getting 50% on ARC AGI 2 would have been headline news. Now we're at 84. The pace of improvement is what should really get your attention, not any single score.
Okay, shifting gears to something you really need to see to believe. ByteDance launched Cadence 2.0, and the AI-generated video samples are making people's jaws drop. Even Elon Musk, who is not easily impressed by other people's technology, posted, "This is happening too fast."
So, Cadence 1.0, the first version, could generate maybe 5 to 8 seconds of coherent video. That was already impressive. Cadence 2.0 pushes that to about 20 seconds at 1080p resolution, with consistent characters, realistic physics, sound effects, music, and voiceovers. And you can generate up to 2-minute clips using multi-shot sequences.
2 minutes of AI-generated video with consistent characters? That's getting into the territory of actual usable content.
It is. And the quality jump is what's causing the stir. We're talking about hyper-realistic output that, in many cases, is genuinely difficult to distinguish from real footage. ByteDance has already imposed strict restrictions on generating real-person imagery, and they suspended a feature that could generate voices from facial photos because of deepfake concerns.
Good that they're being proactive on that, but the genie is kind of out of the bottle, isn't it?
It is, and here's the bigger picture. Cadence 2.0 is arguably the most photorealistic AI video generation from any company, East or West. This is a Chinese company matching or surpassing what we've seen from OpenAI's Sora, Google's Veo, and others. The competitive dynamics in generative video are shifting very quickly, and the deepfake implications are genuinely concerning. ByteDance knows it, which is why they're keeping this in controlled beta. But controlled beta has a way of becoming uncontrolled reality.
When Elon Musk tells you to slow down, you know we're in uncharted territory.
Coming from the man who merged SpaceX and xAI last week, that's really saying something.
Speaking of China, There's a really significant story about hardware independence that I think flew under the radar for a lot of people. Jipu AI released a model called GLN5, and Marcus, the headline here isn't just the model's performance.
No, it's how it was trained. GLM5 is a 745 billion parameter model, fully open source under an MIT license. And it was trained entirely on Huawei Ascend chips. No NVIDIA hardware at all. Zero. And it's competitive with the best models in the world, including Claude Opus 4.5 and GPT-5 on multiple benchmarks. On SWE Bench Verified, the coding benchmark, it scored 77.8%.
So the US export controls on advanced chips were supposed to slow China's AI development down. This suggests they're finding a way around that.
More than finding a way around it, they're building a genuinely independent supply chain. The Huawei Ascend chips aren't as individually powerful as NVIDIA's latest hardware, but Jipu clearly figured out how to train at scale with them effectively. And the fact that this is open source under MIT license means anyone in the world can use it without restriction. Jipu's stock surged nearly 30% on the news.
And DeepSeek V4 is apparently days away too?
Right. DeepSeek is expected to launch V4 around February 17th. They've already deployed a 10x context window expansion, going past 1 million tokens. Internal benchmarks reportedly show V4 surpassing both Claude and GPT in code generation tasks, using a new architecture they're calling N-gram memory. If those claims hold up, we're looking at a wave of extremely capable, extremely low-cost open-source models from China that fundamentally challenge the assumption that American companies hold an insurmountable lead.
It feels like every month, the gap narrows. At some point, we have to stop calling it a gap and start calling it a race.
It's been a race for a while, Kate. The West just didn't want to admit it.
Let's talk about the ad war, because this week gave us one of the most entertaining corporate rivalries I've seen in tech. As we covered on Thursday, OpenAI started showing ads in ChatGPT for free tier users. But what we didn't get to cover was Anthropic's response, which was absolutely savage.
Anthropic ran Super Bowl ads, multiple spots, during the most watched television event of the year. The ads were titled Deception, Betrayal, Treachery, and Violation. They showed AI assistants interrupting helpful conversations to pitch ridiculous products. And the tagline was, ads are coming to AI, but not to Claude.
And they used Dr. Dre music. I love this.
Created with ad agency mother, Dr. Dre soundtrack, the whole nine yards. And here's the thing. The ads outperformed OpenAI's own Super Bowl presence in engagement metrics. Sam Altman called them funny, but clearly dishonest. And he made the argument that OpenAI is trying to bring AI to billions of people who can't afford subscriptions, and ads help subsidize that.
That's actually a fair point, right? Not everyone can pay $20 a month for an AI assistant.
It is a fair point. And this is the philosophical split that's crystallizing in the industry. OpenAI is going the mass market, ad-subsidized route. Their argument is that universal access to AI is worth the trade-off of showing some ads. Anthropic is positioning itself as the premium, ad-free alternative. Their argument is that the moment you introduce advertising into a conversational AI, you compromise the objectivity of the responses.
It's like the streaming wars all over again. You've got your ad-supported tier and your premium tier.
Except the stakes are higher. When Netflix shows you an ad before a movie, it doesn't change the movie. When an AI assistant has advertising incentives, there's at least a question about whether its recommendations are influenced by who's paying. OpenAI says ads don't influence ChatGPT's answers. But even the perception of influence can erode trust. And trust is the one thing a conversational AI absolutely cannot afford to lose.
So which model wins?
Both might survive, honestly. There's probably room for a free ad-supported AI and a paid ad-free one, just like there's room for YouTube and Netflix. The question is whether the ad-supported model subtly changes user behavior and expectations over time. That's harder to measure, and much harder to undo.
We've been covering the massive AI infrastructure spending all week, but there are some new numbers that really bring it into focus. $700 billion. That's the collective CapEx commitment from the five biggest cloud and AI companies this year.
Microsoft at $120 billion+. Alphabet at $175 to $185. Amazon at $200 billion. Meta at $135. And Oracle at $50. Nearly doubling what they spent in 2025. And the cash flow implications are genuinely alarming for some of these companies. Amazon is projected to go negative on free cash flow, somewhere between negative 17 and negative 28 billion. Barclays is projecting a nearly 90% drop in Meta's free cash flow.
Amazon going cash flow negative. That's a sentence I never expected to say.
These companies are essentially betting the farm that AI compute demand will grow fast enough to justify this level of spending. This is bigger than the cloud buildout. It's bigger than the fiber optic boom of the late 90s. It's the largest infrastructure investment cycle in technology history. And the fundamental question investors are asking is whether this is visionary or whether it's 1999 all over again.
What's different from the dot-com bubble, though?
The companies spending the money are enormously profitable. Amazon, Google, Meta, Microsoft. These are cash-generating machines. They can sustain losses in a way that dot-com startups never could. But even cash machines have limits. If AI revenue doesn't ramp fast enough to offset the spending, you'll see painful adjustments. And the market is already starting to price in that risk. That's part of what's driving the broader tech volatility we've been seeing.
Let me quickly flag the Altman-Musk saga because it took another entertaining turn this week. Sam Altman posted on X that he's, quote, really excited to get Elon under oath in a few months, calling the upcoming deposition Christmas in April.
Subtle as ever. The trial is scheduled for April 27th. Musk has two lawsuits going. One alleges Altman abandoned OpenAI's nonprofit mission. The other accuses him of monopolizing markets. Altman also took some shots at xAI's quality and safety practices.
This feels very personal at this point.
It is personal, but there are real legal stakes. If Musk wins, it could set precedent around how AI companies structure themselves, particularly the nonprofit-to-for-profit conversion that OpenAI pioneered. That could affect future AI lab structures for years. So, while the mudslinging makes for great entertainment, the trial itself could be genuinely consequential.
And finally, a fun one. Marcus, had you seen ClaudeBot? Well, I guess it's called OpenClaw now. We've been tracking this all week.
We have. Last we checked, it was at 149,000 GitHub stars and climbing. What's remarkable about this project is that it's nearly 100% AI-written code, created essentially by one retired programmer. And it spawned something called Moltbook, which is a social network of 770,000 autonomous AI agents communicating with each other.
770,000 AI agents just talking to each other. That doesn't freak you out at all?
A little bit, yes. And I'm not alone. Andre Karpathy called it the most incredible sci-fi takeoff adjacent thing he'd ever seen. But remember, there was also that critical security vulnerability rated 8.8 out of 10 that exposed almost 1.5 million database records. The security infrastructure for autonomous agents is simply not keeping up with the capabilities.
It's the story of 2026 in miniature. Incredible capability, inadequate guardrails.
Perfectly put.
All right, Marcus, big picture time. It's Friday. Let's zoom out. What's the thread connecting everything we talked about this week?
The thread is capital commitment. $30 billion for Anthropic, $700 billion in infrastructure spending, $1 billion from Disney to OpenAI for Sora. These aren't tentative bets anymore. The largest pools of money in the world have decided that AI is the next platform shift, and they're deploying capital at a speed and scale we've never seen. At the same time, the technology itself is validating those bets. Gemini 3 DeepThink is doing things on reasoning benchmarks that would have seemed impossible 18 months ago. Chinese labs are proving you can build frontier models without American chips. AI-generated video is approaching photorealism.
But there's a flip side to all that momentum, right?
There always is. The SaaSpocalypse we covered this week wiped out $2 trillion in software stock value. Amazon might go cash flow negative. The security vulnerabilities in agentic AI are real and growing. And the emotional impact of people's relationships with AI, which we covered yesterday with the GPT-4o retirement, that's a dimension nobody planned for. The money is moving faster than the wisdom.
The money is moving faster than the wisdom. I think that might be the quote of the week, Marcus.
Let's hope it doesn't become the epitaph of the era.
That's your AI Pulse for Friday, February 13th, 2026. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you Monday.